Evening, everybody. It's my privilege to be here. I've been so excited to see you all, and Anna wanted me to tell everyone here hello, but she's sorry she can't be here. Turn with me, if you would, back to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, in this portion of Scripture that Brother Frank just read, the Apostle Paul is standing on trial. He has been on trial for quite a while, and he's standing on trial for preaching the gospel. That's the reason. No other reason than that. Just for preaching the gospel. I think all the time about how privileged we are to be able to freely preach and hear the gospel. There have been many times when God's people were not able to do that. We're in a very, very wonderful time. I pray the Lord would keep it. But they literally did to him what he did to so many. Didn't he go in hailing men and women for this gospel? Isn't that what he did? He drug them out, threw them in prison. And now they've done the same thing to him. Just for preaching this gospel. He went through riots. Just imagine if a riot broke out in Catlettsburg. He went through beatings. He went through tortures, just horrible things. Almost to the point of death, those men left him, and the only reason they left him was because they thought he was dead. He's now being held in prison. He's been brought before judge after judge after judge. They cannot find anything on him other than he's preaching the gospel. And he finally said, "I appeal to Caesar. Send me to the top. I want to be judged by Caesar himself." And this man Festus said, "I will send you to Caesar, but you're going to stand before this King Agrippa first, to see if he can help me find something on you, find a reason to send you to Caesar." So now he is standing before King Agrippa, and chapter 26, verse 1 says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." King Agrippa, he looked him right in the eye and he said, "What do you have to say for yourself? What do you have to say for yourself?" Paul said in verse 2, "I think myself happy." This is one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. I've preached from this many times. He said, "I think I'm happy." What do you have to say for yourself? Here's what I have to say for myself. I think myself is happy. You know how sometimes you have those days where you can't put your finger on it. You just cannot really understand why. If someone asked you, you couldn't explain it to them. But for some reason, you're just happy. I don't know, I'm just happy. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that the opposite is also true many times. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on why. But sometimes God does something in this cold, dead heart. You ever feel cold and dead? Sometimes God, in His goodness, reaches down and reaches in and squeezes on that heart. And it causes all of His people to honestly say, I think myself happy. I think I'm happy. Shocking. What? I think I'm happy. I have no reason to be, but I think I'm honestly happy. In the midst of trials, in the midst of afflictions, God in His good time, at His good time, still makes His people happy. He makes them happy. Let's see this in some scriptures. Go with me to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in His excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He said, God's Israel is a happy people. They're a happy people. Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Second Chronicles 9. I love this story. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, and as we read this, don't we love seeing our Lord Jesus Christ in Solomon? When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Can you imagine when we finally see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory ascend up to His throne? Bless our hearts. We're trying to do the best we can. But I'm going to tell you, the half is so far from being told. The glory, the wisdom. We've heard of His wisdom, the all-wise We had no idea it was wisdom like this. You know, the scripture says before we ever even ask a question, he'll answer us. Isn't that what he said? Before they ask, I'll answer. Oh, the wisdom. Not only does he know the answer, he knows the question. She said, I had no idea. And she said in verse 7, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. They are so happy. She said, that's what stands out to me, is that they that serve you, these servants of yours, they're so happy. They're so happy to be in your service, just to be in your service. Turn with me over to Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's a happy people. A lot of people's God is not the Lord. They have to make Him Lord. They haven't made Him Lord yet. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Across my page in Psalm 146, verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's a happy people. Now the Apostle Paul told King Agrippa, he said, I think I'm happy. And do you know that our Lord has told us to be the same thing? All of His people. He said, this is what I want you to be. In our Lord's own words, this is how He said it. He said, be of good cheer. That's what He said. This is how I want you to be. He said, be of good cheer. Be happy. That's what he says continually. Be happy. Be happy. I wrote down 5 different times that our Lord said that. Be of good cheer. 5 different times that he said, be happy. And in those 5 times, along with that line, along with be of good cheer, he's given us 5 different reasons to be happy. 5 reasons from the Lord to be happy. The first one is in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 says, and our Lord entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And the other Gospels tell us that our Lord was in a house preaching the gospel, and they couldn't get in. So they climbed up on the roof and started ripping the tiles off of the roof. And if that's what it takes for you to hear the gospel, do that. If you own a ladder, do that. If you don't, go borrow one. If that's what it takes for you to hear the gospel, get on the roof and rip the roof off. I'm being serious. We're going to go meet God in just a couple of minutes. And at that moment, oh my goodness, what will the gospel be like? But there were so many people in that house, they couldn't get in. So they had their friend lying on a bed, sick of the palsy. And they took him up on that roof and they started ripping that roof off. And they lowered their friend down with ropes and lowered him right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord looked up at those four men. He put himself in that house on purpose. He gathered all those people on purpose just so they could go up there and rip that roof off. And he looked up at those four men. And it says in verse 2, Jesus, seeing their faith, seeing what he had done for them, seeing what he had put in them, faith was not of themselves, that was his gift to them. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, Son, it's time for you to be happy. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven. Is that not glory? Son, your sins are forgiven. Verse 3 says, And behold, certain of the scribes which said within themselves, This man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He knew their thoughts. He knew their hearts. For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. What do you think? Think he was happy? You think that man was happy? Can you imagine being on a bed all your life, sick of the palsy? And not only do you hear, Son, your sins are forgiven. But now he has risen, picked up that bed, gone home. We don't need any other reason to be happy than just in knowing that our Lord has said, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. No more. I lay down my life. I give my body. I give my blood. Just knowing that makes us say, makes God's people say, I think I'm happy. I think I'm happy. No matter what's going on in this life, when you get a hold of that, no matter what's going on in this life, when the Lord lets us get a hold of that, your sins are forgiven. I think I'm happy. That makes me happy. The second reason is in Matthew 14. Look with me over at Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22 says, Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I know if you belong to him. You have heard him say that to you. I know you have. If you belong to him, you have heard him say that to your heart. Something devastating comes along. It always does, doesn't it? Something devastating comes along. Something that strikes so much fear in us. so much doubt in us. One little word straight into the heart. Fear not, it is I. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. This flesh says if it's a good thing, God did it. If it's a bad thing, the adversary did it. No matter what it is I. Fear not. I know how bad it looks. I know how bad it feels. It is I. Sometimes I worry, all the time I worry about the things that are going to transpire between now and the end of my time on this earth. I have no idea what's around the corner. I worry about my children a lot. I worry about the ministry in Kingsport quite a bit. I worry about the ministry as a whole. Every time the Lord reminds me in my heart, whatever it is I. Every single time I'm reminded of that, it thrills me. It's like I forget. I forget. And then His Word comes to me and reminds me, it is I. It is I. Is it going to be easy? No. No. I got a letter a few years ago from a dear, dear man who attended this congregation. A man I love very, very much. Can't wait to see him again. The Lord in His goodness and kindness and love and mercy chose to bless him and honor him by taking him home. But in his letter, he began that letter to me by saying, Jackie and I are currently enjoying our lull between the trials. When I read that, I thought, that is the wisest way I've ever heard anyone look at life. There is going to be trial after trial after trial. You know what those trials are? Weaning us to Christ. Every single one of us makes us want to take one step closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trial after trial. Is it easy? No, it's not. But every time He says, don't be afraid. Don't, isn't that what He said? Don't be afraid. Rest. Wait. Trust. It is I. Be of good cheer. Just be happy. It is I. Every time He reminds me of that, I believe I can honestly say, I think myself happy. The reasons continue. Go with me to John 16. John 16, verse 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That means gotten the victory. I have overcome, I've prevailed over all of your enemies. All of your enemies. The adversary, when he was cast out of heaven, he was cast to this earth. We get in our mind that he was cast to this fiery place called hell. He was cast to this earth. He has been here ever since. He walks to and fro in this world, seeking whom he may devour. He fires fiery darts But our God said, I have overcome every bit of it. I've overcome every bit of it. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1 here says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they of God are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I don't know that that statement has ever been truer than it is right now. People trust preachers. Don't do it. Trust anybody but a preacher. Try all the preachers. How do we try them? By the Word of God. Verse 2, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Rarely will you find a preacher confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in everything that that means. God manifest in the flesh, the Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the only Savior of sinners. Verse 3, Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the reason. You have overcome because He overcame, and He's in you. Christ in you. Chapter 5 here, verse 1 says, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. What think ye of Christ? He is born of God. And verse 4 right here says, Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? God manifest in the flesh. Whoever is looking to Christ totally can be of good cheer. Our sins are forgiven. In Christ, our sins are forgiven. He is in absolute control. It is Him. He has defeated all of our enemies. And if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, this is the account of Paul, his perilous sea voyage where his ship went down and he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. The ship in this story represents Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Hear this great storm as he said, You should have never loosed from Crete. You should have listened to me. Now I'm commanding you, be happy. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, Every man that is in this ship is going to be saved. And that is the truth of the gospel. Every soul that is in Christ is going to be saved. Not every soul who has obeyed those Ten Commandments. Not every soul who has done the best he can. Not every soul who's made his decision. Every soul that God put in Christ going to be saved. Every single soul. No life will be lost. Only the life of the ship. Only the life of the ship. That's the good cheer of the gospel. Verse 39 right here says, "And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." They were clinging to the broken pieces of that ship. Our Lord's body was broken. The head remained firm. His body was broken. He refers to His people as bone of His bone. Even though His body was broken into pieces, not one of His bones was broken. Psalm 34 says, "He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken." Not one. This is a great reason to be of good cheer. Good cheer. The only life that will be lost is the life of our ship. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more reason. Last one. This reason applies to all the other reasons we've given. Our God has said to His people, "Be of good cheer, because our sins are forgiven." It is I. Whatever it is, He's in control of it. He said, "I have overcome the world. I've defeated all your enemies." He said, "No life that is in Christ is going to be lost." No life that is in Christ is going to be lost. If you need Christ, you are saved. Here's the last reason. Last reason we'll give tonight. Right here in Acts 27, verse 25 says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." If He said it, then it is going to come to pass. We stand up and we quote the Word of God. And what we are doing is believing and hoping in and clinging to the promises of God. We're holding to His promise. If He said it, then it is going to come to pass. If He said it so, then it's so. If He said He shall not fail, He shall not fail. If He said He cannot lie, He cannot lie. If He said not one word will return void, not one word will return void. Not one word. We can put our stock in it. All our hope, all our trust, it's going to be exactly like He said it is going to be. Exactly like He said it's going to be. If He said it's finished, it's finished. If He said, "I will never leave you," He will never leave you. I like that. That'll make a people happy. Here's my declaration. It's not a question. It's not a suggestion. Here's my declaration. You are happy. Whether you know it or not. Whether you realize it or not, if you belong to Christ, you're happy. You're happy in Him. You'll be happy for all eternity. I want to close this by reading an article to you that Brother Bruce Crabtree wrote. As soon as I read this, the last line caught me. I just fell in love with it. Listen for the last line, okay? This is the verse he wrote it from. He wrote it from 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, which says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." One God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This is what he wrote. "I must approach unto God by Christ Jesus, because I am unholy. God must approach unto me by Christ Jesus, because He is holy. In Christ Jesus, I, a poor sinner, and God, a holy and heavenly Father, have an honest and sincere communion one with another. His holiness is not violated, and my sin is not imputed, but all is washed away." He said, "Oh, sweet fellowship. Oh, easy walk. Oh, joyous friendship. Oh, happy name." He said the same thing Brother Paul said. Same thing all of God's people say. In Christ, I think of myself happy. I am very grateful, really, to be here. And I sincerely pray the Lord's blessing on this Bible school this week. I pray the Lord will bless the efforts and bless the teachers and bless the children. I sincerely pray the Lord will save the children here. I pray the Lord will save the children in Kingsport, save the children everywhere. He had mercy on us. I promise we take it for granted. But if He will save our children by putting them in Christ, then we'll all be together forever. One congregation, no separation. I promise we'll have a wonderful pastor. We'll hear him stand up in his pulpit, preach this word. So I am grateful to you for doing this. And may the Lord bless it. Thank you.